Those of you that have not maybe taken communion with us before, the ushers will be passing out the communion. There's two cups. You've got your bread in the bottom cup, your juice is in the top cup. You just kind of lay it on everybody else. I'll let you know when to participate, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Brother Justice, Brother Morris. Let's just worship the Lord. Let's pray. He served God with a clear conscience. He wrote about forgetting the past and pressing forward. The past didn't seem to have a hold on Paul. He didn't let it define who he was or impact his decisions in the present. How did he do that? Paul wrote something else that gives us a clue. Don't boast about following a particular human leader, for everything belongs to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life and death or the present and the future, everything belongs to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. What did Paul say about the past in those verses? Nothing. It was a non-issue. The past belongs to God. It's the present and the future that is ours. We do need to deal with the consciousness of our past actions and inactions. We might need to apologize or tell the truth or find out why we did what we did or make amends if we can. These healing steps are essential and biblical. But the past itself, with all its guilt and embarrassment or shame, that's gone if Jesus is our Savior. The bread and cup of communion represent Christ's body and blood. They remind us of His sacrifice that removes our past and gives us a clear conscience. In the freedom that results, we can resist temptation, reject the accusations of Satan, and serve God. The past is gone. The book of Hebrews compares the Old Testament system of animal sacrifices with Christ's death on the cross and says, "How much more then will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God." Let's partake of this bread. Let us partake of this juice.
Like this in the King James Version of the Bible: Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And I want to preach from what everybody's been talking about and singing about today, and that is, miracles still happen. Let's talk to the Lord before we begin on this journey of the Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for this event today. We're thankful for our children's ministry, all of our teachers and students who are thirsty and hungry, God, for your word. And we're thankful for our adult class, and this is a new venture for us, but I thank you for leading us out. And we trust, oh God, that you will lead us through and teach us how to do these things in a way that is building up and encouraging everyone. And during this remainder of the service and this preaching of the word, God, I pray that you would speak to us powerfully, change us, change our views, our opinions, our beliefs that do not line up with the truth of your kingdom and your word, and let your power be released in our life situations. In the name of Jesus, if you want God's power released in your life situation, you say amen.
Amen.
Brother Worship may need to attenuate the microphone just a little bit. I'll try to behave myself. In the Aramaic Bible, in plain English, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, it reads like this: Yeshua, the Messiah, He is yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, never changes. Never changes. Never, ever changes. Hallelujah. Now I know that there are times when it seems like God has changed. That I know that there are times when our prayers aren't answered in the way that we wished. And if you have prayed a prayer and it didn't get answered the way you thought it should, can I get somebody to say, "That's right, preacher, preach it." There are times when we're unsure if God is even up there doing His thing anymore. Sometimes we wonder if God is not a wishy-washy God. Paul ran into this attitude, this mindset in the church that he planted in Corinth. And he had been in a conversation with them. And he said to them in passing that if it be the will of God, that he might be stopping by in their city for a visit on one of his journeys coming through. But as it turned out, God had other plans, and he wound up being redirected to bypass them at the present and stop there on his return journey. And because Paul changed his plans, the people were upset. And they got really worked up about his potential vision, and they were really excited about it. When it didn't happen like they had supposed, they were greatly disappointed in Paul, and the accusations began to fly. And I'm here to say this morning that little events like this, where God works in unexpected and mysterious ways, are often and can be the seedbed for what I call folk theologies and junk spiritual theories and outright blatant heresy. Said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, where the Apostle Paul is discussing this issue of the people being angry with him because he didn't do this exactly like they thought that he should have. And he says there in verse 17, "You may be asking why I changed my plan. Do you think I make my plans carelessly? Do you think I am like people of the world who say yes when they really mean no? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas and Timothy and I preach to you. And as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says." Can I get an amen? For all of God's promises, it says in verse 20, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen," which means yes. Everybody say yes. Amen. Our amen ascends to God for his glory. And Paul here is defending his decisions. And he distinguishes between his ministry and the general population. He defends his decision as the result of changing circumstances. And really, he's not operating on a set of calendar, on a date, time, or system, but he's operating on a set of principles of seeking and following after God in the changing circumstances, in the ebb and flow of life. And he clearly points out the consistency and unchangeableness of Christ's teaching and the gospel message that they had shared. Amen. Christ Jesus and the good news of his sacrificial death and resurrection was clearly the fulfillment of God's long-standing promises to Israel. Many things happened. A lot of water went under the bridge. A lot of tire changes and oil changes between the promises being launched and told by the prophets and then actually coming to pass. And the Israelites lost their way and they got concerned and they got confused and they lost sight of the promises of God due to the day-to-day trials and situations and circumstances. Amen. But Paul said the ebb and flow of life and the ebb and flow of ministry can never transcend or detract from the consistency and the immutability of God's promises and God's character that are revealed in his Son, Jesus the Messiah. And the Bible said in the fullness of time, amen, that the Son of God came into the world and brought salvation to humanity. I'm here to tell you, the world may swirl around you, and things may happen that you weren't expecting, and things that you were expecting might not happen, and we go through many times of disappointment, amen, but our God that we serve never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The title of my message today is Miracles Still Happen, and you're wondering where I'm going with this. Because we live in a day and a time and a world, amen, where doctors' reports and testings and wars and rumors of wars and the media and all of the situations of life happening to us and the apostasy of Christianity in America and the powerlessness. The Bible says that in the last days they're going to embrace a form of godlikeness, but they are going to deny its power. And so we reside oftentimes in a 10 mindless rituals, and we go to service conference and meeting after meeting and conferences, but nothing ever happens. And we get into this mindset that God has changed, that He no longer does what He's always done, that He's no longer God on the throne, and that He can no longer move like He has in the past. And I'm here to bring you a message this morning in the beginning of a series of messages. And the message is very simple. Miracles still happen. I was telling you recently about a friend of mine who had been healed of a back problem and a severe cold at the same time while watching a spiritual program. And I told you that my friend is a very skeptical individual, a lot like myself. But he was in such pain and he was in such misery. And he was so surprised when the preacher turned to the television screen and the cameras and he said, "There's somebody watching the program and you've got back problems." And of course, you know what I would have thought and what he thought. And what you would have thought, yeah, there's probably 5 million people watching the program that have back problems. This guy's just reaching into the dark, and surely he's going to hit something if he shoots enough buckshot out there. And then the preachers went on and he said, "Not only do you have a bad back problem right now, but you also have a cold that has just really got you miserable, and you're home from work sick today." And his eyes started getting bitter. He thought, "Man, maybe God is talking to him." And he said, and all of his skepticism, he opened up his arms sitting there in his PJs. And shaking in pain, he said, "God, I receive." And he said, instantaneously, the warmth of God's Spirit flowed down over his body. His cold was instantly cured, and his back pain instantly went away, and God healed him. And I'm here to tell you that God still works miracles. But what I didn't tell you about his story is that his wonderful mother died of cancer. A godly woman, no matter how many church services they went to, no matter how many faith healing preachers who anointed her with oil and laid hands on her, God did not heal her. And when she was passing, He said that she was full of the Holy Ghost. And even on her deathbed, speaking in tongues and singing and prophesying to her children. But she died of cancer. And then his father, who had been a pastor for years, got really bad sick with diabetes and had an amputation and wound up in the nursing home. And there he languished until his death for some time, receiving little to no visitation from any of the ministry friends that he had made over the years. He died lonely and sick and destitute. Needless to say, this morning my friend battled with some serious setbacks to his faith in God's promises. Can I get another amen from somebody? We all deal with the setbacks to our faith. How many of us haven't gone through even half of what this young man has gone through? Not including that eventually and recently his mother-in-law, who they were very close to, another wonderful lady, died unexpectedly. And on top of that, their spiritual mentor, the faith healer that preached to millions of people across the world that they were closely related to, also died and passed away. You can sometimes life can leave you destitute. Amen. Many of us have never gone through the level of things that this young man has. And how many of us were just ready to throw in the towel just because our utility bill was a little higher than we were expecting? Amen. But I'm here to tell you this morning that my friend is still in the church today. I'm here to tell you this morning that my friend is still in the faith today, that he still believes God, that he still prays, and that he still worships God. I like what Brother Kevin said about Job, and I'll say this about that. If the only time you can praise and worship God, if the only time you can believe and expect from Him is when things are going good, amen, then you might as well find another God to praise and worship, because if He's worth our praise and our worship when things are going good, He's that much more worth our praise and worship when things are going bad. Amen. It's not our time to give up and throw in the towel. Anybody can be a Christian. Anybody can believe. Anybody can have faith. Amen. When God is blessing and working miracles. Amen. But the true believers and the ones that will really know His power and the ones that will become overcomers and see His glory outpoured in their lives are the ones that believe in spite of the trials, are the ones that haven't seen a miracle but still believe that He can. They're the ones that press on anyway.
That's right.
It was just this year, And I got to see a video of him baptizing his oldest child, Isaiah, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God still works miracles. God is still faithful to us. Nobody said that this life, and even the life of a Christian, would be without struggles. But Jesus promised to make our burdens lighter. He promised that His commandments would not be difficult to follow. He promised us that He would never change. Jesus the Messiah is yesterday, today, and forever the same. Whoever told you that God doesn't do certain things anymore needs to rethink their choice of gods and religion. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 in the NLT, it says, "I am the Lord and I do not change." That is why your descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. Hallelujah. Sometimes we complain about the terrible things that people are doing in the world. And the Jews were doing the same thing, excuse me, in Malachi chapter 3. And we complain because God isn't doing anything about it. But it's the unchangeable mercies of God, which are renewed and extended to us every single day, that are also being extended even more so to those who have yet to put their faith in Christ. The Jews were complaining as we do. Amen. But if God were to answer every one of our pet peeves, amen, if he were to solve every one of our little irritations against people that we don't like, to do doing things that we don't like, with His divine judgments, then because God is a fair God, because He's an unchangeable God, then He would have to do the same thing to us. And in the end, none of us would be left standing, would we? Hallelujah. But God is still a miracle working God. And if there's one miracle that God still does today, if there's any miracle that God did in the Old Testament and is still doing today, it is that He listens to the hearts of people that are broken and contrite because of their mistakes and their failures. And He still works the miracle of forgiveness and salvation in their lives. Amen. If miracles don't happen anymore, then how is it that people are still being forgiven and their spiritual debts are being wiped out by a gracious God? In Psalm 103, chapter 103, verses 10 through 18, in the English Standard Version, it says, "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does He repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does He remove our transgressions from us. And as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, and for the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember to do His commandments." So, hallelujah, the greatest, excuse me, of all miracles and of all promises is the promise of God's love towards His people. His love is a steadfast love, the psalmist said, and it extends from everlasting to everlasting. There is a mindset in our world today. There is a mindset in the church today. There are preachers that preach theologies, and there are whole entire denominations that preach theologies, and really, they are really just biblical heresies. And say that the things that happened in the New Testament when Jesus was walking the earth no longer happen here in our day and time. They say that the things that the apostles did and the miracles and signs and wonders that were performed in the book of Acts no longer happen for our time. That it was just for them. But I'm here to tell you today that miracles still happen. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He worked miracles in the book of Acts, He still works miracles today. Amen. And to prove it to you, let me tell you about some things in the Scripture. Amen. Same God in the Old Testament who sent fire from heaven at the request of His prophet Elijah is the same God who baptized the 120 believers in the upper room in the book of Acts with the Holy Ghost and fire. God was a consuming fire in the Old Testament. God was a consuming fire at the day of Pentecost outpouring. And God is still a consuming fire. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in prophetic events that at the very end of days that God has reserved the earth to fire and judgment. Amen. God hasn't changed one iota or one little itty bitty bit. The same God who caused the 70 elders to prophesy in the camp of Israel with Moses, and who caused the prophets of old to speak under the control and ecstasies of His Spirit, is the same God who filled Christian believers with the Spirit and caused them to speak in tongues of men and angels, magnifying and prophesying of the greatness of God in all His wonderful works. I'm here to tell you today that when God filled me with His Spirit, that I too, amen, prophesied and spoke in tongues and magnified and praised God. He did it in the Old Testament. He did it in the New Testament. He's still doing it today for those whose hearts are open to believe and receive. Same God who provided oil and meal for the pagan widow and her family was provided for years during a famine is the same God who multiplied the loaves and the fishes and fed thousands of people. Is the same God who said, I am the bread that cometh down from heaven. I'm here to tell you, He is the same God today that He was 2,000 years ago. He's the same God today that He was 4,000 years ago. Amen. When He established His nation Israel, He's the same God today. Amen. That He was when He created the world. God has not changed one bit. And He still works miracles today in our lives. Hallelujah. The same God in the Old Testament who healed the pagan general Naaman by causing him to baptize himself in the Jordan River 7 times. You never guess what he was healed of. He was healed of a skin disease called leprosy. The same God that healed Naaman in the Old Testament of leprosy is the same God that healed the 10 lepers. Amen. He's the same God that still heals and works miracles today. I don't know where we've got this theology, this idea in our minds, amen, that God lets all the bad stuff still happen. Amen. Oh yeah, God lets judgment happen. Oh yeah, death still happens. Oh yeah, all the bad stuff still happens. And we just need to smile and grin and get on about our way. Amen. But God don't let the good stuff happen anymore. He lets the bad stuff happen, Brother Patrick, but He don't do good things anymore. You tell me how a good God, amen, that gives good things to His people, amen, can stop doing that and just let bad things happen. I'm here to tell you, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God wants to do something good. God wants to do something miraculous in our lives and in this church. I'll tell you why He does. Because He's the same God that's always been doing those things. I don't know where these ideas and theologies come from. Hallelujah. God still visits His people with angels. He did it in the Old Testament. He does it in the New Testament. He still speaks to His people today. He still imparts knowledge and information. He still gives dreams and visions. Amen. The same God in the Old Testament that caught away that great man called Enoch. Hallelujah. I believe he was before the flood. It's the same God that caught away the prophet Elijah after the flood. Amen. It's the same God that called His Son and who ascended up into the sky, into heaven. It's the same God that promised that one day we are going to be translated and changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye. Amen. Amen. God doesn't do something over here and then quit doing it over there. He's the same God today as He was back then, as God still does miracles. I like what the angel said in the book of Acts, chapter 1 and verse 11 of the NIV. They said to Jesus, apostle, they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking at the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven." God's character and his promises and his power and his divine interventions in our lowly human affairs are just as intact right now as they have ever been before. In the lives of those who seek him in truth and sincerity, in the lives of those who commit themselves to him in everything they say and do, God is still God. God is still on his throne. And God is still active and involved. Brother Patrick and I were talking before church. He was complimenting me on my choice of preachers last week. And I said, "Brother, I didn't choose that preacher." "Well, who did?" I said, "God chose the preacher." My wife was frustrated with me before we went on vacation. She said, "Who's going to preach while we're gone?" I said, "I don't know." Well, she said, "Well, I need to plan. I need to know what clothes to pack. You know, women are always thinking about important things." Same as men. We always think about important stuff. Oh, God. You know. The woman's about to have a baby and she's running out the house. She's more worried about, you know, what she's wearing and what she's going to wear and all that kind of stuff. My God, bring that baby into the world. You know, we worry about all kinds of crazy stuff. And we get all kinds of distracted. And I saw, I said, we're waiting on God to show us what he's going to do. I'm here to tell you, God still intervenes. And this man sent a text to my wife. And I believe God did that for a reason. I believe God sent it to her to build her faith, to let her know that he is still in charge. And know it's the real truth. Brother Rob doesn't usually pick who preaches at the church service. Sometimes you like the preachers. My God, if you like every preacher I called in here to preach, I would think there was something wrong with me and with God. Though God sometimes sends us preachers we don't like, who say things we don't want to hear, whose personalities grate on us, and whose methods don't agree with us. You know why? Because the church doesn't revolve around me. It doesn't revolve around you. There are 60 other people in the building today that need to hear a word from God. And more than likely, most of them don't have the same personality or gift or relationship with God that you do. And so sometimes God ministers to somebody else. But I'm here to tell you, regardless of who he's ministering to, regardless of how he gets it done, and regardless of how he chooses to do it, he still does it. And he still wants to do it. I don't know. I wonder what miracle God is planning to do in somebody's life here in this building today. I wonder who's going to experience his love and grace of being saved and forgiven for sins and failures and mistakes. Amen. I wonder who's going to be filled with the gift of God's Spirit. Amen. I wonder today who is going to be given an insight or a bit of knowledge. I wonder who is going to receive a word from the Lord, a miracle, a healing. I wonder who is ready, amen, to leave all the lies and uncertainties behind them and step into the realm of the unchanging Messiah. Let's all stand together today. And when we get to look into this guy, I never heard of this guy before. I didn't even know who he was. And I just kind of smirked to myself when Cal and the woman. God's pulling somebody in from left field this time. And of course, it was Inspiration Sunday last Sunday. And my wife was supposed to be in charge of that. She's the main, she's our worship team leader and the main musician that does all of that. And I know, because I lived with that woman, that she was ready for a break from Inspiration. So God didn't just pull in a preacher that could preach good. He pulled in a preacher that sings for a living. I don't know if he sings good. I don't care if he sings good. I don't care if he sings or preaches good. God says, "Have a man come, why he come?" I was going to be embarrassed, not me. But you see, God still works miracles in our lives. That may not be a big deal to you, but to me, it just made me feel that God still works. And he didn't send the message to me. He sent it to my wife to let her know, yep, I'm in charge. Not just so I could say, I told you so, but so that I could say, I told you, God is in control. Hallelujah. I told you that God is in control. I know that it's tragic, some of the things we're called to go through. I know that it's tragic. I know that it's painful. Even the Apostle Paul himself, Jesus, had to die on Calvary. He said, if I wanted to, I could call down legions of angels to deliver me from this cross. But I came here for this purpose. Sometimes God does call us to go through things. Sometimes God leads us on a path. We were talking about Job earlier, and I never finished that statement, which, you know, our preachers always leave a lot of things hanging in the air. But he had been blessed by God. He had numerous children, and he was one of the wealthiest men in the East at that time. And he was highly respected, and a man full of great and tremendous wisdom. When you read the writings of the book of Job and the things that he said about, this man had insight. He understood things about creation. He knew about dinosaurs. He knew about an odd and unusual gigantic sea creatures. This man was full of knowledge and insight. Amen. But God called him to go through a trial. And God allowed tragedy to come to his doorstep. And all of his wealth and possessions were taken away from him. Amen. And in the same day, the Bible says that all of his children were eating together in a house. And a tornado came and it collapsed the house and killed all of his children. And the Bible says that Job just collapsed under the weight of the trials. But then he lifted up his face. And he lifted up his hands ever so slightly. And he said this, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't want to let my trial and tribulation cause me to run headlong into some folk theology or some spiritual heresy that says God is no longer on the throne. I may not understand. I may not know the reasons. But don't let that ever take away from your belief that God does not change. And I like what the three Hebrew boys said when they were about to be thrown in the fiery furnace. They said, we are not going to disobey God's commandments. So you can throw us in the fiery furnace. And God is going to deliver us. But they said, you know what? If we get thrown in that fiery furnace and God doesn't deliver us, we are not going to disobey Him. We are going to stay faithful and true to His commandments. So I'm talking to a church today that God has a message for. Amen. You've been through some tough times. You've had some prayers that didn't turn out like you thought. You've made some mistakes. That God has put you in the refiner's furnace to bring the dross out of you and make you finer. But I want you to know today, God wants you to know that He's still a loving, compassionate Father. That He's still on the throne of His glory. That He's the same God that still works miracles. He's the same God that still intervenes in our lives. Amen. If you'll come to Him today and you'll get a fresh start with Him and you'll say, God, I've been doubting You, but I'm going to receive. God, I've been a little cynical, but I'm ready to open up my heart and receive. God, I've been a little unsure and a little shaky in my faith. Trials and tribulations have been weighing me down, but I'm going to open up my heart and give You a little bit of praise today. Hallelujah, because You are the same God. And if You are the God that lets bad things happen, then I know that You're the same God, amen, that can turn it around and turn it into my good. I know that You're the same God that even in the middle of the worst trials that You can bring about something good out of this. And I still believe that You have a reason and a purpose and a plan. And I'm going to let anybody or anything take away my faith in Your power, in Your ability. Hallelujah, it's time for this church to grow. It's time for the spirit of expectation to grow in this church to where that despite of what happens, that we still believe that He is on the throne. That He is the Messiah, the same yesterday, today. I like the way the Aramaic Bible in plain English said, Yeshua the Messiah, He is today. He is tomorrow. He is forever. And if we are in Christ today, we have access to His promises. Hallelujah. His judgments are sure. And His punishments are sure for sin and wickedness. How much more are His promises sure? And His blessings and His gifts that much more sure? Let's lift our hands to Him right now. As we sing, I want to invite you to come to the front. If you would like to pray for a few moments this morning and ask God to open up your heart and let you receive a fresh faith, a fresh belief, a fresh trust in Him. No matter what, just come down your road to recommit yourself to believing and trusting that God is in control. Let's sing. Come on, somebody come and recommit yourself. God wouldn't have me preach this message.